Yes, it is. Good morning. It's the 5th of May. Happy Cinco de Mayo, everyone. By now, most Americans do understand that the 5th of May is not Mexico's July 4th. It's a celebration of a battle, kind of like the Pearl Harbor kind of thing, or D-Day. But most Americans don't know is that Mexico was waiting patiently for their first shipment of mayonnaise. They had never had that before. It was coming from France and it was on the Titanic, right? So we know what happened to that. Never made it to Mexico, didn't make it to New York. And so they still refer to this horrible tragedy as Cinco de Mayo. It's a really bad joke, I know. Maybe if you listened to my reason, my announcement yesterday, you heard the same thing. My apologies. Okay, all right. So that was. Oh, did you have a happy Star Wars Day yesterday? May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. Okay, bad jokes today. All right. I'm gonna turn my video off because you don't need to see me. Mute the video. Okay, now save up some bandwidth, and also you don't need to see my mug. We have much to do today. We have much to do today. We are essentially done with the class. Huh? That doesn't make any sense. We still have 2 weeks of instruction. Well, we're going to cover some items which, for the most part, I hope you never get involved with. Right? I apologize. But this is an introduction to investments class, so you do need to at least understand these exotic, dangerous instruments that are available to you, and stay away from the siren call of getting rich quick, because it's a total not scam. I can. It's gambling, speculating. We don't use the word gambling. We use the word speculating. Okay? But first, let's talk about the exam. Some of you did not take the exam. Please keep in touch. I'm not talking, I think the people all here took the exam, but there's still some folks who haven't been keeping in touch, and I'm going to have to drop them for inaction because it's crunch time. We only have 2 weeks left and then a week of finals. Turn in all your assignments, even if they're late. Do it. Do the discussion forums, even if they're late. The stock discussion forums and bond discussion forum are still available. I don't know why they normally would be shut down by now, but I left them open. And then there are some bonus assignments at the end of the semester, which won't hurt you if you don't do them, but will help if you do do them. So keep in touch. We want you to succeed. But there's going to be grades at the end of the semester, so remember that. And so check out your grades on using Canvas. Okay, any questions before we get started? Let's share the screen and go to the browser here and see how we're doing. Turns out we're down about 11%. We've had made it all the way up to -8%, -9%. Market as a whole is actually doing pretty well today, and a lot of people. I don't know if you follow the talking heads. I don't listen to them. I just read the articles on MarketWatch, Yahoo Finance, CNBC, and I like the New York Times, two New York Times, LA Times, Washington Post. Many. Pundits, talking heads, whatever you want to call them, are saying, look, this recent rise is just a head fake. It's a, what's it called? A bear market rally, meaning that we're still going down, but it's rallying. It's going up in the midst of going down, whatever that means. Or they like to call it a dead cat bounce. Unfortunately, I tend to agree with them. I think we are nowhere near the end of this ugliness. Excuse me. That doesn't mean I'm selling all my holdings. I'm not. In fact, I'm waiting for the downturn to put some more money in. But we'll see. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm right or they're right. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't think anybody does. What I'm really hoping for and praying for, not so much because of our investments, but although that would be nice, is a breakthrough with vaccines, a breakthrough with treatments. And and I've been doing my best to read about everything that's going on. And if you've noticed, there are just tons of really, really smart people all around the world that are doing their best to come up with treatments, monoclonal antibodies, come up with vaccines that stop the virus. And when they are successful, that's the question, is when they're going to be successful. If they're successful sooner than later, that's going to really help us from basically crashing another 20-30% or so, or 40%, who knows. But more importantly, we get to live. That's the more important thing. And so that's my two cents, for what it's worth. And not bad. You know, you guys have done not bad. Where the one killer was Wells Fargo and then Berkshire Hathaway. You know, they lost a lot of money last year, but they're not going anywhere. Their roots deep in the economy, just like Apple. This is an intro. I keep telling myself to go, but I can't get to the value line. So, oh, well, I keep telling myself I got to take a look at Brookfield Renewable Partners, because I've read a few things online that I trust and some I don't trust. And then, of course, Tesla, the poor Elon Musk is losing it. I don't know if you've been following him, but he's been tweeting out crazy things, saying he's going to sell all his houses. He's going to sell all his stock. He's, you know, because the company is basically, well, not the space company. I think they're still, able to work. But the car company has been shut down basically because of the virus. So, you know, every day they're losing tens of millions of dollars by not having that factory in operation. And I'm sure it's driving him personally mad. Plus, he and his girlfriend had a new baby. So that's a
good one. Didn't he also tweet that he thought Tesla stock was too high and it tanked?
Right. He said, exactly, Andres. He said the stock is too high. Now, you know what? Whether you believe it or not, you're the CEO. Keep your mouth shut, you know, because then you could be accused of trying to manipulate the stock. If, for example, we're going to talk about options today, right? If, for example, he had said that and at the same time had been buying put options, he would go to jail. I doubt if he is. I mean, he's just not that mean-spirited. He's crazy. He's driven. But he's not evil. He's not going to do evil things. The same thing happened when he tweeted to make the stock go up. He had not, at least they didn't prove it. They just slapped him on the wrist, basically $20 million fine. That's a big slap on the wrist, but at least he didn't go to jail for insider trading. He didn't do any trading, and this time he probably most likely didn't do any trading either. But just keep your mouth shut. But he can't help it. You know, he's one of those genius types that's just crazy, in my humble opinion. Okay, so that's the market for today. Now let's go to, oh, by the way, I wanted to show you a few things real fast. This scares me, folks. You know, what happened here? The southern states, these are the people who are screaming and hollering that we should reopen the economy. They think they're immune because they're not New York, they're not San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles. But look, they're... It's May 20, March 20th, April 5th, April 15th, May 1st. It's not good, folks. It's not good. We'll see. Reopening, I mean, we got to get the economy back and running, but when? How many people are going to die? And then these people, oh my God, these are a group of Republicans who are not happy about Trump. And so they put out an ad that you'll probably see called Mourning in America, not MORNING, MOURNING, which is a spoof on a ad from 1984 with Ronald Reagan. So and of course Trump has already jumped back on it. So I won't play it for you, but just check it out, because it's pretty powerful, and it's very scary what's going on. I'm not smart enough to know. I would err on the side of saving people's lives, but if you're starving, that's a problem. If you don't have work, I have work. I'm working from home, so we'll see. Okay, so let's now take a look at the material. There's a ton of material, folks, in this last 2 weeks, and you are not going to have time to internalize it all, especially if you're behind. So as we said, there's going to be, and as we did with exam number 4, the questions about all the material in the next few chapters that we're going to discuss in the next 2 weeks will be available to you before you take the final exam. All right, so the questions will be there, so you'll know what to study before you take the exam. Because we want you to focus on catching up, turning in your assignments, and making sure you can do the calculations that will be on the final exam, which will be, hint, 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 very similar to the calculations that we did for exam number 4. There will be at least one constant perpetual growth model and discounted cash flow model. There will be at least one bond pricing model, bond yield model, bond yield calculation formulas, and we will have a pre-final worksheet, which we'll go over next week. Okay, so we want you to be awesome. We want you to learn this material. We're not trying to trick anybody. But look at all this material. Options are very involved. We're only going to go through the first part of the four. We're only going to do one of the four different presentations. If you have time on your own, please go through these on your own. Remember that wonderprofessor.com, assuming I'm still alive, will still be online for you to come back and view. So let's now go. You're going to want, of course, we would hand out a packet, but I don't have it. You're going to want to at least have this guy on your screen somehow. We'll come back to him. But this is a notes page that I would create on the board while we're in face-to-face class. And then I decided to just make it and print it out and give it to people. And, of course, online, that's how they do it. Okay, so that's you don't have to do it. We'll bounce back and forth to this, but that's what we're going to deal with. We're going to deal with options today. So here we go. Chapter 15. Now, this joke might not make any sense to you, but by the end of the four presentations, which we're only going to do the first one, it should. At a very exclusive party, a high-class, finely clad woman slinked up to the CEO of a Fortune 500 company and said, "I will do anything you want." The CEO flatly responded, "Reprice my options." So this is my understanding is this is a Warren Buffett joke. And Warren Buffett's not a fan of options and other derivatives. He calls them weapons of financial mass destruction. And he's right. They can kill you. So let us start with the definition of an option contract. So let's get the pointer going here. There's the pointer. Okay. Let's start with the definition of an option contract. An option contract, and it's not easy to say, try it, option contract. And a security, which means it can be bought and sold, right? Like a stock, like a bond, like a mutual fund, that gives the holder the right to buy or sell a certain amount of an underlying financial asset at a specified price for a specified period of time. You're not actually buying the asset. You're buying an option, the ability to buy or sell the asset. And that's why it drives you crazy, because you can buy options to buy, you can buy options to sell. And so it creates this mirror image that makes it very difficult to figure out what's going on. They are not investments. They are contracts. There's two parts of the transaction. There's a buyer of the option and there's a seller of the option. The buyer of the option gets the right to buy or sell the financial asset at a given price for a given period of time. And the seller of the option contract must actually buy or sell the asset according to the terms of the contract. So You're not buying the stock. You're buying the ability to buy the stock, or you're buying the ability to sell the stock, which, you know, makes it crazy because there's two different ways you can go about this. Options contracts are part of a class of securities called derivatives. Derivatives are securities that derive their value from the price behavior of an underlying real or financial asset. They have no voting rights, they receive no dividends, no interest, and they eventually, poof, disappear. They eventually expire. It's a contract for a certain time period. Their value comes from the fact that they allow the holder of the option to participate in the price behavior of the underlying asset with a much lower capital outlay. So you don't have to come up with a whole amount. You only have to come up with 1/10 or 1/20 of the amount. And by the way, even though the term is options contracts or option contract, options contracts being plural, most people just refer to them as options. Why? Because it's hard to say. Try saying options contracts three times fast. It's not easy. So we'll just use the term options, even though you understand that they are not investments. They are contracts. They are transactions. And as we said, they are a part of many different types of what are called derivatives. Remember way back at the beginning of the semester, we said derivatives are securities that derive their value from a price behavior of an underlying real or financial asset. They are not the asset. They are tied to the asset. So options allow an investor to leverage their outlay of capital. There's that word we discussed, the ability to obtain a given equity position at a reduced capital investment, thereby magnifying returns. You're using this instrument as a lever to make more money. With options, you can make the same amount of money from a stock or other security. We'll talk about stock options. As if you bought it for a full price, but you only have to come up with 1/10 or 1/20 of the money. Sounds too good to be true, huh? Yeah, well, you're right. It is too good to be true. Much of the time, you lose the entire outlay. Why? Because options have a time limit, and most options expire worthless. So you're basically betting, you're gambling, and we use that term. We don't use the term gambling. We say speculation, but you know it's gambling. So what's the rationale? Instead of buying the stock, you think the stock's going to go up, right? Instead of buying the stock, you buy an option to buy the stock. Or if you think the stock is going to go down, you would buy an option to sell the stock. And that's what we made reference to. It's crazy. if Mr. Elon Musk were trying to make money off of his tweet where he said the stock price is too high, he would have purchased put options so that he could sell the stock to somebody at a lower price. And if he did that, he's going to jail. It's that simple, hopefully. But I'm sure he didn't do that. He's not that kind of guy. Trump is that kind of guy. Anyway, instead of buying a stock, you buy an option to buy the stock. If the stock goes up, your option will go up much, 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 much faster. And you can sell the option for a handsome price, or you can exercise the option. You can actually go ahead and buy the stock at the lower price that you set in the contract. There's only one catch, as we've made mention. The option expires in 3, 6, 9 months. If the stock does not go up, the option becomes worthless. Most options expire worthless. Did we mention that? I think we'll mention that. I think we'll mention it again. There are some scenarios where options can be worthwhile, but in my humble opinion, they are few and far between. In fact, I don't even think they exist, but there are some situations where you could say, well, I'm protecting myself. Okay, all right, or whatever. Slide number 6. Here's a stock selling for $20, and you think it's an awesome stock, right? You buy one share at $20. If it goes up to $30, you've earned $10 on a $20 investment. So that's a 50% return on your money, right? Make sure you understand this. I usually would do this on this. Is there a way I can write on this screen? I don't think so. Captions, no. There's a way you can write on some of the screen sometimes, but not this one. Wait, here it is, annotate. Right, here it is. Okay, so if you have a $10, this is terrible. I need I need a tablet, right? $10. Advance, right? It went from $20 to $30. That means you made $10 on a $20 investment. That's a 50% return on your investment. Does everybody understand that? If not, scream and holler now. 50% return on your investment. Pretty darn good. Congratulations. But instead, what you do is you buy an option to purchase a share of the stock. You don't actually buy the stock. You buy the option to purchase the share at $20. And it might only cost you a buck or two, maybe a dollar. So now if the stock price goes to 30, your option price will probably go up to about $11 because it'll follow the stock up. If the stock goes up 10 bucks, your option will probably go up $10. Now, it doesn't always, you know, it doesn't work dollar for dollar. There's other things at play, but basically, in general, that's what's going to happen. So now you made $10 on a dollar investment. So let's see, that's $10. You made $10, same amount of money, but this time you only put in a buck. What is that? That's 1,000% return on your money. Whippee! That's leverage in action. Now, do you understand, folks? Do you understand how that happened? Make sure, because that's why people will be trying to get you to involved in options, saying, wow, look at what I made, 300% in one day. I made 400% on that one. And then the next day, it all disappeared. It went down 100%, and it became zero. So congratulations, pat yourself on the back. Now, let's go to the next slide. Next slide. But what if the stock, I got to get rid of it. Eraser. Clear all drawings. There we go. Okay. What if the stock price, I didn't think it was going to stay. The stock price stays at 20 bucks. Well, what happens to your option? Disappears. Why? Because you bought an option to buy it at $20 and the stock price stayed at $20 or went lower. Nobody's going to want your option. And you're not going to want to exercise the option. So it becomes worthless. Your dollar disappears. And of course, after your option expires, the price zooms to 40 bucks. You were so sure that the stock was going to hit the big time, and you were absolutely right. But because you bought an option that expired, you lost the ability to share in the success of the stock. So you can hold the stock forever, right? Or as long as the company's alive. But the option, no, the option has a time limit. So it disappears after a while. My advice, forget about the option, just buy the stock. But since this is an introduction to investments class, we need to become proficient in the concepts, terms, and techniques of options. If only to protect you and the folks who rely on you, because remember, you're the investment guru now. We don't teach students in school, or we don't teach young people about syphilis so that they'll go out and get syphilis. We teach them about it to protect them from syphilis, from AIDS. You know, that's the idea. And so that's the same thing we're doing here with options and futures, and we'll get the futures later on today, is to protect you and make you understand that it's pure gambling. And you're probably going to lose your money. But if you want to do it, it's up to you. I can't stop you. It's your money. Now, okay, next one. There are two options contracts. There's the call option, which is a option to buy. And then there's the put option. There's the option to sell. So the call option it harkens back to when we just talked about bonds, calling the bonds in. It's the same idea. If you buy a call option, you get to call in the stock. Come here, stock. Come on, stock. Whereas if it's a put option, that's an option to sell the stock. You get to put the stock. And remember the hand signals that they used on Wall Street when it used to be all, you know, hand face-to-face, now it's all electronic. But they used the call option when they used to say, come here. They used their hands to come toward them when they wanted to buy, and they'd put their hands away from them when they wanted to sell it. put it. So this is the problem. You've got to be able to understand both sides of the both different types of contracts when you take the Series 7. And they're going to really ask you about these. And what happens is often this is where people screw up. Because in the Series 7, there's 7 or 8 different exams inside the exam. Now, you don't see this. You just see the questions come by. But you have to get 70% on all the ones, not just all if on the entire exam. So if you flunk the options part, you flunk the whole test. And this is where people really, they kind of gloss over. And I warn them, no, don't do this. And the same thing's going to happen on Thursday when we see shorting and buying on margin. So here is another slide that says, okay, where did the terms call and put come from? And how I remember which is which. The term call comes from the idea that when you buy a call option, you get the right to call the stock away from the seller of the option. The term put comes from the idea that when you buy a put option, you get the right to put the stock to the seller of the option. A call allows you to call the stock away from somebody, you buy it from them. The put allows you to put the stock to someone, sell it to them. So now let's look at each one in detail. And this is where I'm going to bounce. Okay, I'm going to get rid of this guy right here. I'm going to bounce back to the notes page. This is where this notes page can help, because this is basically what we're going to do here. Here it is. If you're the buyer of the call option contract, you are the person who can, you don't have to, you have the option to do it, call away the stock from the seller who's on the other side of the contract. Remember, there's two people here. It's two sides of the contract. They don't have to exercise this right. They're not required to do so. And as we said, many options contracts expire worthless. Seller of the call option is the other party. They're the person who is on the hook. They're also called the option writer and the option maker, which makes life more complicated. They are legally bound to sell the stock to the call buyer at the price that they agreed upon. So if the call buyer decides to call the stock away, this is the person they're calling it away from. They have to buy it. I mean, they have to sell it. They have to sell it. They don't have to buy it. They can if they want. So are you confused yet? Let's see what they're hoping for. The call option buyer is hoping that the price will go up. A call option buyer is bullish. So if you want the price, if you think the price is going to go up, you would buy a call option. If the price you agreed on was 20, that's called the strike price or the exercise price. And the actual stock price goes to 30, you can buy a $30 stock for only 20 bucks. Pretty cool, right? That's a nice thing to have. The call option seller is hoping that the price will go down or stay the same. So the call option seller is bearish or at least not very bullish. Sometimes we call them a chicken, right? If the stock stays around $20 or goes down, the call option buyer is not going to want to exercise the option, and it will expire worthless. And what does the call option seller get out of the deal? They get the dollar. They get that option price. It's called the premium, but everyone calls it the option price, that the call option buyer had to pay for the option. So now we have a graphic that, again, tries to show you what's going on. Here's Ed, who's the buyer, and Ned is the seller. Ed pays $1 for the option to buy the stock at 20 bucks. He doesn't buy the stock, he buys the option. Ted gets that dollar. He gets to keep that dollar no matter what happens. But if Ed wants to call away the stock from Ted, Ted is legally bound to sell it to him, whatever price is. Now, of course, if the price goes down, he's not gonna do it. The price goes down, maybe it goes down to $17. He's not going to buy a stock at 20 that he can turn around in the marketplace and buy it for 17. So the option will expire worthless. But if the stock goes up to 30, Ted has to go out and buy it at 30 and then give it to this guy. Sell it to this guy for 20. So you see, this guy can only lose his dollar. but this guy can lose his shirt. If the stock exploded on the upside, goes up to 60 or whatever, it doesn't happen that often in, you know, a 3-month period. But what happened? Just 6 months ago, Tesla was $200. Now it's 700. Right. So those people who sold those options were in a world of hurt because they've got to turn around and buy it at that higher price and sell it at the lower price. So are you confused yet? Good, because now we do the same thing in reverse. The two parties of the put option are doing the exact same thing, except in reverse. And it's similar to a mirror. It's like a mirror image of what we just did. The put option buyer wants the stock to go down because they can buy the right to put the stock, sell it to the put option seller. Again, they don't have to exercise that right. And the seller, the option writer, the option maker, is required legally to take it from them, to buy it from them, to have it put to them. If the option expires worthless, well, the seller gets to keep the buck that they earned. But if the option buyer says, hey, I want to sell you this stock, the option seller, the option maker, is legally required to do so. So again, it's the same exact thing in reverse. The put option buyer is hoping that the price goes down. They're hoping, they're bearish. They're expecting the price to go down. So if the option buyer has a put option to sell at 20, the price goes to 10, they can sell a $10 stock for 20 bucks. Now they don't have to do this. It's an option. And often if the price went up or stayed the same, they wouldn't wind up doing it because it wouldn't make any sense for them. The put options seller is hoping that the price goes up or stays the same. If the price stays around $20 or goes up, the put option buyer, this guy up here, is not going to want to exercise the option and it will expire worthless. So here we have that same graphic. However, it is doing the exact same thing in reverse. Here's Fred and Ned. Fred buys the option to sell at $20. Ned gets the buck, gets to keep the dollar, and this guy is hoping that the price goes down. So let's say the price goes down to $10. He gets to sell a stock to him at $20. He could turn around in the marketplace and buy it for $10 and turn around and then sell it to $20 to Ned. You see? Now, if the price goes up, he's not going to do that. Why would he sell a stock for 20 bucks that he can sell for 22? So he'll let the option expire worthless. So now that you're thoroughly confused, let us describe a little thing about options here. It's time for questions on options. Options are confusing, aren't they? Yes, as we described, they're one of the hardest parts of the Series 7 stockbroker exam. Oh, wait a minute, is this thing still working? Is it recording? No, it's not. Poop, this is not recording. I goofed up. I must have pressed the button twice. But Zoom is recording, so my apologies. Okay, options sound like gambling. Am I right? Yes, options are a form of gambling, in my humble opinion, is a zero-sum game. Someone wins, someone loses. Stocks are not a zero-sum game, folks. Nobody has to lose. Some people will, but everyone can win in stocks, but that's not going to happen. Some people don't lose. A family acquaintance once called me and said, hey, Frank, I hear you can make a lot of money in options. I said, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You can make a lot of money. You can lose a lot of money, but you can't invest in options. You can speculate in options, but you can't invest in something that has a 60% chance of being worthless in 3 months. That's not investing. If you go back to the very first slide, what's an investment? Any vehicle that we can place resources in with the expectation, reasonable expectation, that we're going to get cash in the form of, you know, dividends, interest, rent, and that the value will go up, capital gains, or at least stay the same. And that's not true with options. They don't fit that criteria. They're derivatives. They are speculations. They're gambling. Okay, now, We're going to stop here for a moment. And how are we doing for time? Not bad, not bad. Okay. What I want you to understand also is that when you buy an option, you're not actually buying one option. You're buying 100. Remember the dollar? If the price of the option were a dollar, it's actually $100, because every option contract is an option contract for 100 shares. You have to, you don't just buy an option for one stock, one share of stock. You buy an option for 100, a round lot, if you remember round lots. So that that dollar that he paid, it's actually $100. Okay, so that's one. And then the rest of the chapter is, there's a lot of information here, folks, and I you don't have to get caught up in it. Please, if you are so inclined and you do believe that you're going to get you want to move into the industry, go through this at your leisure, whether you have the next 2 weeks or next 2 months or 2 years, but you really should go through this to understand options in their entirety, if only to stay far away from them. Okay, because here's what you're going to see. You're going to see, excuse me, I'm going to make this a little bit bigger. How am I doing? Okay, how's that? Can you see that pretty well? Untold riches can be yours. Investing in options. And these are places that, and what happens is they start up and then they disappear, and they get, you know, a letter from the Securities Exchange Commission saying, stop that, don't do that. And they keep doing it until finally they get a second letter that says, now we told you stop that. And then the third letter, and then finally they change, they get sold, they change their name or whatever. So here is Online Trading Academy, 5-day, 10-3-hour sessions. Only they raised their price. It used to be $5,000. Now it's $5,500. Okay, go away. Registered for an event. Go away. Here she is. See, look at me. I can do this. I can do it. Professional option trading, 5 days, $5,500. They just raised their price. And so really, what a deal, folks. You don't have to worry. And you listen to these people when they get doing their thing. It just drives me up a wall. Don't worry about putting that $5,500 on your credit card, because you're going to pay off that credit card in a month, just in weeks doing trading options. You can't believe how rich you're going to be. Right. Okay, who else? That's only $183.33 per hour, and you will spend more in 1 hour than you did for this entire 3-unit course, so it must be worth it, because what are you learning in this course? Nothing that's going to make you rich in 3 weeks, right? And here's the Day Trading Academy. This one's only $29.97. Here it is. Start your journey now. A free starter kit, which is basically just 2 hours of telling you why you need to take the 3 to 5 day course in Medellin. Go take it in Medellin, Colombia. There it is. There you are. Trading is a lifestyle, as long as you are willing to work for your success and meet some of our people. Look, all around the world, they're scam artists, folks. Stay away from them. And then the Optionetics. We refer to Optionetics in the presentations, but they just got bought by Tom's Trading Room. Here's Tom. Where's Tom? There he is, Tom's Trading Room. Here's the Optionetics, folks. Here we are. Message from Tom. We took over Optionetics. And then here's a new one, TradeWinds. Somebody told me, I think my wife told me about this one, TradeWinds. I love these people are really bold. Look at them. There she is. Now, doesn't she look like every woman, Wendy Kirkland? I don't think she exists. I don't think her thing is only $2,000. Yeah, 1997. But here's Mr. Bubba Horowitz. These are the people that they're looking for, people who are really gullible, and so they have pictures of just regular people to make them think, like, make the gullible people think, oh, he can do it, I can do it too. Look, Mr. Bubba can do it. And so it's just a scam. It's just a terrible scam. And none of these people exist. They're just photos that they took from the yearbook somewhere. These are scam artists. And then my buddy, who's far more far more aggressive than I am, usually, not always. He was trading options a few years back, and so he walked in on me as I was recording one of the presentations on options, and he was just thoroughly interested, and so I interviewed him. He tells you why he buys options, and he doesn't do it anymore. Actually, I think he did. He went back and did a little bit of trading in a few options and then stopped again. And why is that? Because, folks, you're going to lose. You're going to lose 30, 40% or so, maybe the whole thing eventually. But there's the potential to lose more than what you put in. And that's if you sell the options. And so here's a guy, if you buy the options, you just lose what you put in. But if you sell the options, you can lose more, right? Because if you think about it, you are on the hook to buy that stock at $20. If the stock goes to $100, oh my goodness. Now you have to pay $100 for a stock and turn around and sell it at $80. And here's a guy who did just that. This guy believed that he had no money at risk. And then he promptly loses almost 2,000%, about 1,800%. How could that be? Well, what he did, he calls himself Irony Man. He simultaneously bought and sold options. So here's his value. Look, it says, hey, you're actually on the hook for potentially $287,000, but you know you're not going to have to pay that because these $15 calls that you sold, $10 calls, $10 puts. He bought and sold, but he bought and sold calls and puts on the same stock, and made some money and paid some money, and if nothing bad happened, he would have turned $5,000 into about $40,000 if nothing bad happened. But he says, I have no money at risk. And by the way, if you want to read this in its entirety, go back to the website. Here it is. Trader believes he has no money at risk. Everybody said, no, don't do this. This is really dangerous. Do not do this. Potential downside, but that didn't stop him. He apparently actually managed to withdraw the $10,000. So he started with a $5,000 outlay. He put $5,000. He sold some, but he bought some at the same time. So he bought some calls and he sold and puts, and he sold some calls and puts. And the idea was, if everything ever over 2 years, I think he bought them, if everything worked out correctly, he would have been able to pocket, you know, $40,000. Well, it didn't work out that way. The organic matter hit the Ventolin device, and now he's on the hook for $58,000. He lost 1,832%. He's down $54,000, and noticed that they closed his account. They said, you know what? We're closing your account. You can't make any trades or any now. You got to pay us. He's still on the hook to pay back Robinhood because he had a Robinhood account. And then, of course, so almost $58,000 in losses, and the accounts get shut down. And of course, everybody starts piling on him. You idiot! You literally cannot go tits up. Here's what happened. Here's one Reddit's user attempt at breaking it down in simple terms. He bought four different types of options that gave him a $300,000 credit. At the end of the expiration 2 years from now, he would have collected $40,000 or $50,000 if nothing bad happened. The way he bought it was set up like a hedge. So it didn't matter if the stock went up or down because he had options that covered him both ways. But what happened? 283, which is a weird number, of those options were exercised by the guy on the other end of the trade, meaning he had to come up with 283 contracts times 100, 28,300 shares of the stock which he didn't have. He had to go out and buy the shares to sell it to this guy. I guess that's when Robinhood closed his account. They exercised whatever was left and to get the rest of the money out of the account, and he's basically now on the hook for $54,000. And then Robinhood decided that it wasn't such a good idea to let people do this anymore. So now you can't do it at Robinhood and anymore. Robinhood trying to explain how stupid they were without saying, "We were really stupid for letting this guy do it." A box spread is an option strategy created by opening a call spread and a put spread with the same strike price and expiration dates. And this is all the stuff you would learn about if you went through the presentation at normal speed. Box spreads are often mistaken for an arbitrage opportunity. However, they have hidden risks that can lead to losing much more money than expected. Arbitrage is a fancy way of saying, look, I see somebody selling this stock for a dollar, but I see somebody who wants to buy it for $1.25. I will buy it for a dollar and turn around quickly and sell it for $1.25. And of course, Robinhood didn't want to say anything else. And this guy is ready to come back. Wait, stay tuned for the comeback tour. You would think he would have learned that by now, but obviously not. So please do be careful. Please do stay far away from these implements of mass financial destruction. And so if we go to the very last slide, what are our final comments on options? Stay away from them. The possibilities are endless, and so are the commissions. And that's when I referenced Optionetics, and now they've been turned around and sold. So is that cool? So time for a little break. Let's now stop the share, see who we have. Isaac's here with us. And Alejandro is here. Carla Guzman. I think I've got everybody, Lisa. All right, so any questions, any thoughts? Were you thoroughly confused? My apologies. Because as we said, they're tricky. They're very tricky, but they're out there. And so you're going to know enough to stay far away from them. Plus, there's an opportunity to make 5 points. And it's pretty easy. If we go to here's the assignment. No, this is the worksheet. Okay, so there is a worksheet with a commentary and an answer key. And here's the one with the answer key. We will not have any questions like this on the final, but this is where it's really tricky from the Series 7, because they're going to ask you about call options and put options. And if you zig when you should have zagged, you'll wind up with the wrong number. And of course, that number is one of the options, one of the choices, no pun intended, one of the choices on the exam. And so you have to really understand these things. Now, the assignment is actually pretty straightforward. The assignment is we want you to choose two different stocks, and I chose, come on, view. I should have had this up and running. Oh, darn it. My apologies. The assignment is to take two different stocks. I chose Procter & Gamble and Google. Why? Because Procter & Gamble is the kind of company that is pretty, there we go, finally. Pretty zoom, 225%, is fairly stable, right? And Google is a tech company. Ugh, excuse me, I need some water. Google is a tech company, which is fairly volatile. And what we want you to do is 1 week, today, for example, or tomorrow, whatever, record the call options for June or May or July with a strike price of 120. Now, you chose 120 because that's what the stock price was when I did this. Let's move this over here. Let's see what Procter & Gamble is selling for now. Go back to Yahoo Finance. PG. PG. Nope. Why do I use this guy? Procter & Gamble? Procter & Gamble, finally. All right, so yeah, well, it's 116 now, so you can do 115 or so, and then 1 week later, so that Procter and Gamble, okay, Procter and Gamble's at 116. Now let's see what Google is. I forget. Let's go. Okay, Google 112.75. Let's see what it is now. Google, what the hell? Google. $13.62, so it's even higher. So you'd want to do like 13.25, 13.50, because it's done well. Done well. And then you want to record the call option, not this price of the stock. Now you can record the price of the stock, but we want you to record the price of the options. And then do it 1 week later and see how much you would have gained or lost. And remember, you have to multiply the option price by 100. So let's go take a look at the options chain. Now, I think Yahoo's is not as good as MarketWatch, and I don't trust either of them, folks. If you really want to get involved in options and futures, you're going, well, futures we'll do in a couple minutes, you're going to want to get a reputable, not Robinhood, reputable, well, maybe Robinhood learned a lesson. But here are the options, options called the options chain, and these are the call options. Notice these are shaded. They're in the money, it's called, until we get to the price of the stock, which was about 13,660 was or so. Now you see what happens. As soon as you go above the price, the strike price, the exercise price, now they're out of the money. What does that mean? If you had an option to buy at 1,300 here, you could buy the stock at $1,300, right? Even though the stock price is 1360, whatever it is, 1363. That's the cool part, right? But you got to pay for that. So if you bought it here, that's the price of the option is $69. So you'd have to pay $69 for that ability to buy the stock at $1,300. And then you can exercise the option right away, but why bother? You could just buy the stock at 1363 and save yourself what, $6. But what if the stock price went up to 1400? That guy would go about to $90. If this went up $30, this would go up about $30. You see how powerful that is? But what if the price went down to $1300? This guy would go to zero. Which is why you hear people say, yeah, I made 1,000% and I lost it all. I made 200% in one day and the next day it disappeared. And then Market Watches, there's a presentation out there on the website that for Market Watch. Market Watch is a little bit better. And then on the other, then what we go down below, you get the put. There's the put options. I'm not going to ask you to do put options, but it's the exact same opposite. All the ones that are below the current price are out of the money, and the ones that are above the current price are in the money, because I could sell a stock, right, for 1380 if I had that option that's only selling for 1363. But to get that, I have to pay $24. Okay, so if that doesn't make any sense, here's the assignment. You're going to start on one day and then a week later, find out what it would cost you. Don't look at the, you can look at the price of the stock, but we want you to look at the option price, the option premium. So again, that's another one is MarketWatch, and it works the same way, but I like MarketWatch is actually better. So let's quickly do it. But there's a presentation that shows you how to do this. So go back and check it. But so let's now put in Procter & Gamble. Procter & Gamble, and go away, I don't care, Trump. All right, options, here you go. So, whoa, options, and they have their options chain. Now, I like theirs better because they show you it like a mirror. They show you the calls on one side and the puts on the other side, and let's do the expiration date. Where's the expiration date of? How do we change the expiration date? Well, we don't want May options. Let's do June options. June options. And so this one's a little easier to read. I think it's a lot easier to read. Here is the stock price. Stock price is about 116.78, right? Here's the, they even show you the stock price here, price. So below, all the calls are in the money, which means it makes sense for you to exercise the option. On the puts, anything above the stock price is in the money, which means you would exercise the option. You wouldn't bother buying a stock at $118 if you had this option. But notice it just sold for $2.62. This is the last. Here it is right here, $2.95. If you wanted to buy this option to buy the stock at $118, you'd have to pay $2.95. Even though it doesn't make sense for you to buy a stock at $118 when it's selling for $116.79. But you still have another month. You have until June 5th. Well, actually, not even that long. June. Yeah, I know. You have a little over a month. Yeah, even, you have 1 month. You have an entire month for this price to go above $118. And if that happens, this will go from $3 to $5 to $10. You see? Therein lies the sexiness about it, the part that makes people excited. But if the stock price stays the same or goes down, this becomes zero. And remember, you have to multiply by 100. You don't pay $2.95. You pay $295 for one contract. If you wanted two contracts, you have to multiply that times two. And so hopefully I didn't lose you too much, but go back through, read this, listen to the assignment. Look at the presentation. Here's the presentation on how to use Yahoo Finance and MarketWatch to do the options chains, the quotes on options. All right, enough about options. Fin de opciones. Stay away from them, folks. Because now we're going to do something that actually makes sense. In my humble opinion, options don't make any sense whatsoever. You should not get involved with them. But in terms of futures, there is actually a reason why somebody would ever, move this guy back up here. There's a reason for futures. Futures contracts are yet another type of derivative, but they're not for us. They're for people who are dealing in the international trade markets or commodities and the like, hard assets they're sometimes called. For you and me, no. Stay far away from these things, folks. But there are going to be people who say, oh, no, you can make a lot of money in futures. Yeah, you can make a lot of money and then next day lose a hell of a lot more money than you ever lost with options. So there are, and this guy should know, Mark Twain. Now, Mark Twain was Samuel Clemens, right? And Mark Twain, the writer, knew better, but Samuel Clemens, the author, was a horrible investor. He put his money, and he made a substantial amount of money from his work. He pissed it all away in these very dubious investments. So there you are, an example of the artist being stupider than the character that he created. There are two times in a man's life when he should not speculate. When he can't afford it and when he can. So listen to Mark Twain. Don't speculate. Invest. What are futures? Well, they're another type of contract between two different parties. They're another type of derivative. They're a commitment to deliver a certain amount of some specified item at some specified date in the future. The buyer and the seller specify a commodity or financial instrument to be delivered and paid when the contract matures. The futures price is like the exercise price in options, is guaranteed by the contract. And so we're talking about wheat, soybeans, cattle, pork bellies, gold, oil. And now they've moved to the financial world. So when you hear the price of a barrel of oil is $39 or $29 or whatever it is, or $100, they're not talking about the price today. They're talking about the price 3 months from now when that oil is delivered, okay? So they're talking about typically three-month futures contracts. There are 6 months and 9 months, but when you hear about the price of oil today, You're not talking about today's price. That's 3 months from now. And that's why people say, the price of oil went down a whole lot. Why shouldn't gas go down? Well, it takes months before that oil makes it to the refinery, first of all. And then it takes months for the oil to be refined and then go to the gas station. So, yeah, it'll eventually fall. Don't worry. And we've seen the price of oil fell about 3 or 4 months ago. And now we're seeing the price of gasoline go down quite a bit. Plus, people are not driving as much. So what are the purpose of futures? Well, the producers of commodities, the producers of commodities use futures contracts extensively. An example, a wheat farmer in Iowa plants 1,000 acres of wheat in April. We just left May, April, it's now May, but it's time to plant. He knows that if all goes well, Lord willing, come September, he'll have 500,000 bushels of wheat. September wheat bushels, wheat futures, are currently today selling for $6 per bushel in September. So today he can sell his wheat. Now he enters into a contract to sell his wheat. He doesn't sell it until September, but he enters into a contract to sell his wheat via the futures contract while it's still in the ground. It hasn't even come out of the ground yet. He can guarantee a price that he is happy with and will result in a profit. The contract states he will deliver the wheat in September and receive $6 per bushel no matter what happens to wheat prices. So you understand? He's entered into a contract with another party such that he will come up with the 500,000 bushels of wheat in September. Now here's let's continue. Who is the other side of that contract? Well, who needs wheat? Kellogg's and General Mills and Post Cereal. They need tons and tons of wheat each year to make their cereal and other food stuff. So via the futures contracts in April, they can purchase the wheat that they're not going to get until September and pay $6 per bushel no matter what happens to wheat prices. So what are the advantages and disadvantages of using futures contracts when you're the producer, when you're the consumer? Well, you're basically setting in motion a guarantee on what price you will receive and what price you will pay. Now, what if you're the producer and prices skyrocket? Oh, well, you've got to sell it at $6. What if you're the consumer and prices plummet? Oh, well, you got to buy it at $6. But what happens if the other situation occurs? If you're the seller of the wheat and the prices plummet, you are guaranteed to make $6 a bushel. And if you're the buyer of the wheat and prices explode, you are guaranteed to only pay $6. So it's a way to hedge, as the term we mean, we've used hedge your bets. And that's the word, that's the term they use. You're basically setting up a situation where you know you're going to come out in a certain way. Now, you could do better if you stuck around and waited, or you could do a whole lot worse. All right? Okay. So here's the word. Futures contracts allow producers and consumers of commodities to hedge. You're taking a position opposite to your existing position in the underlying commodity or financial instrument. Have you ever heard this saying, hedge your bet? The farmer is protecting himself from wheat prices falling, and the cereal companies are protecting themselves from wheat prices rising. And farming, folks, is a very difficult business, folks. Yeah, the rains come at the just the right time, and then the sun comes at the right time, and the weeds don't take over, and the bugs don't come. You have a record crop. What happens to the price? It plummets because everybody else is a record crop, and the world is awash in wheat. Or what's happened now, the world is awash in oil, so much so that there are tankers, they can't unload their oil because the refinery is filled up with oil. They don't know what to do with it. Where are we going to put it? So it's a very difficult world when you're a producer and a consumer. Several years ago, when oil spiked right before the Great Recession, the airlines just took a bloodbath. They got destroyed, except for one, Southwest Airlines. They had bought tons of futures contracts for oil, And they were the only company, the only airline that actually made money that year because of that. So what are some of the other commodities? Corn, oats, soybeans, wheat, barley, canola, electricity, copper, gold, platinum, silver, heating oil, crude oil, meat, and cocoa and fiber. So when you hear about the commodities world, this is what's going on. The producers and the consumers are selling the commodities, and they're buying the commodities. The producers are selling the commodities, the consumers are buying them, and they're using futures to protect themselves. So futures do have a real value, unlike options, which options are just gambling, in my humble opinion. So what are financial futures? Right. The financial world adopted the same technique, but instead of wheat or corn or soybeans, they're using currencies or interest rates or stock or bond index. Next April, I will deliver 25,000 US dollars worth of British pounds to you, or I will purchase $10,000 worth of the S&P 500 from you next August. Does that make any sense? Well, yes, it does. For those working in the world of finance, and especially the world of international business, they can be very useful tools. Say you're a United States car manufacturer, but you're going to buy your engines from a company in Japan. I like it. The Toyota Supra, which was, you know, really well, a lot of people were waiting for the Toyota Supra to come back. It was a car from the 1980s, and it had a real big following. And so Toyota finally brought it back, but BMW makes the engine. Figure that one out, right? So you know you're going to buy 50,000 engines. So you can buy a currency future for $20 million worth of Japanese yen, payable in October when you need the engines, to buy the engines. So if the dollar falls relative to the yen, you're protected. You see that? So dollars and interest rates and stock indices can become commodities, and it can be worthwhile for a car manufacturer or an engine seller. It can make perfect sense for you. Okay, so can anyone purchase futures? Lucky you! You do not have to work in either the commodities world or the finance world to buy or sell individuals' futures contracts. You can be a speculator. You can simply buy and sell the futures contracts. You never actually take delivery or deliver the commodity nor the financial assets. You can buy the 500,000 bushels to be delivered in September, even though you live in a condo in West Los Angeles and you've never even seen a farm. What do you think of this strategy? It's horrible. I'll tell you right off the bat. You can lose a lot more than you do when you buy options. Why? Because the price can go against you, and now you're in deep kimchi. What are you going to do with 500,000 bushels of corn or wheat? You got a condo in West Los Angeles. No, you have to turn around, and you can lose a ton of money very quickly. Speculating, there's that term again. Accepting the future's price risk without having the position opposite to an existing position in the underlying commodity or financial instrument. In other words, the person, the woman in LA in her condo, she bought the futures contract for 500,000 bushels of wheat, and she has no intentions of ever taking delivery. She's going to turn around and sell that contract eventually to somebody else. But if wheat prices plummeted, she could lose hundreds of thousands of dollars very quickly. So don't do it. Stay away from it. And I love the book. I just want to punch them sometimes. And that's a terrible thing to say, but I do. Futures speculation is risky, but it is potentially rewarding if you can accurately forecast the direction of future commodities price movements. Can anybody accurately forecast the future? No, folks, nobody can unless they're in a special position and are able to knock down the price of their stock because they're the CEO and they say that, oh yeah, the stock is overpriced, in which case they should go to jail. So no, don't do it, folks. Stay away. Where are options, futures traded? Well, interestingly enough, the largest, most active futures trading exchange is Chicago. That makes perfect sense. That's where all the wheat and the meat and the corn go, right? Chicago is the hub for all the Midwest production of all these foodstuffs and the like. So there's another one. There's another pretty big one in Kansas City, but now they're sold everywhere. You can buy them everywhere, and you don't care. You just go. Your broker takes care of all that stuff for you. So let's spend a little bit of time comparing futures with options. The futures seem like options. Yes, they too are very similar. They work very much like options. There's a potential for great reward, but there's also much more likelihood of sustaining great losses. In fact, the potential losses from futures contracts are staggering. And just like options, they are a tremendous source of commissions for your broker. They are going to watch you like a hawk. They are going to watch your position, your account, electronically now, of course. And if you start losing a lot of money, boom, they will. And you signed up for this. When you signed up for this this account, you clicked here that said I agree. They can, without your knowledge or your permission, eliminate. Close out the position at a huge loss, but they don't want to be in the situation where that guy was with Robinhood with his options, because now if that guy doesn't come up with the money, Robinhood's on the hook for it. The same thing is true for your futures broker. If you lose a ton of money and then you run away, they have to pay for it. And you can purchase options on futures contracts. What? Yeah, I know. It had to happen. And the brokerage firms are not stupid. You know, they know that options and futures are like gambling, and they know people get hooked on gambling, and they allow them to do it. So, but they watch them, so they don't lose too much money. Because then, if they lose too much money, then they're on the hook for it. So, final comments on futures. Yeah, stay away from them. They're even more potentially dangerous than options. And so on the website, that's the end of that. On the website, oh yeah, okay, yeah. And here's our last slide. Next, on Thursday, we'll take a look at brokerage accounts and then buying on margin and selling short. Two other techniques that, again, we'll offer to you with the admonition that you shouldn't do them. Stay away. Actually, buying on margin, there's a time and a place for this later on in your life, but not now. Okay, so let's go back to the website. And here's not as much information. See, here's futures, not as much information. Oh, by the way, if you look at the study guides, it'll tell you, just make sure you know the stuff that's in bold. Please concentrate on the bolded terms. And as we said, the questions on the final exam will be on the website. Now, here's a great article from the Los Angeles Times. You hear people talk about currents. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? It won't let me do this. I'm in incognito mode for a reason. But let's copy, and now I'm going to go to the other browser. My apologies. I'm going to go to the other browser and paste. Okay. I have it. Don't worry, folks. I do have a, stop the share. I do have a, it's slowing down. Here it goes. And then we'll start the share screen. Where did it go? Here it is. I do have an account with a subscription to the LA Times, so I'm allowed. All right, so foreign, can you see this now? I think you can see it. Foreign currency trading is easy, an easy way to lose money. And see here, Began Dorothy Ouma began trading foreign currencies after seeing a television commercial touting as an easy way to extra money, something she could use as a single mother raising three children. The ads made me think this is easy. She used her credit card, her $3,000 within a few weeks of borrowed money was gone. Eventually, if you make money for a little while, you will still end up losing money. So just stay away from these things, folks. They're like gambling. If you like gambling, maybe, you know, you'll, okay, go away. I know I'm already on your email list. Okay. Share the screen back to this guy. So even though you might make a little bit of money, like going to the casino, you might make a little bit of money. Eventually, all your money's going to disappear. And some people like that. You know, they'll say, okay, I take $20 or $200 to the casino, and after it's all gone, I'm done, and I had a good time. And I think you had a good time losing $20 or $200. That doesn't make any sense to me. But that's, you know, it's their money. What are you going to do? They can do whatever they want with their money. All right, so hopefully today you have come away with a grand appreciation on why you should stay far away from these weapons of mass financial destruction. All right, so let's stop the share.
So if it sounds too good to be true, it usually is.
Yeah, that, you know, I got to remember that. That's a great saying. If it sounds too good to be true. Remember, at the beginning of the semester, what did we say was a great rate of return? 8, 9, 10%. If you get 11 or 12%, and some people have, we saw several mutual funds that have done 11%, 12%, you're a happy camper. And these people have given you 100%, 200% return on your money at a trade win, saying you're going to make 5% per week. If you made 5% per week, within a couple of years, your net worth would be more than the gross domestic product of Japan. You know what I mean? It just doesn't happen that way. You know, nothing happens that way. It's just not going to happen. And we remember we showed you one guy at the beginning of the semester saying, and you're going to buy and sell and make 25% per month. And just, it's a scam. And yet they get away with it. They get away with it. But then there are people who are telling you that this Clorox, if you drink the Clorox, it'll keep you from getting COVID. And I think one of them's in the White House. or sunlight. You need to put a UV light down your throat, and that'll do it. Okay. So any questions, any thoughts? I will stick around for a little while. But review, we went through options and futures. We want you to stay away from them. There's a bonus assignment you can do. Turn in your assignments, even if they're late. We want you to succeed. We want you to be awesome. If you haven't taken the exam, contact me. We need you to take it. If you're having any technical problems, contact me. We're so proud of you for sticking around, folks, this long. It has been one semester that I don't think anybody's ever going to forget. I know I'm not going to forget it. And I'm so proud of you folks for sticking around this long. Check out your trades. Any last ideas, any thoughts? Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And the Zoom recorded session will be available soon. I'm to play with the audio. I messed up the audio. We'll have to play with that. All right. Adios, amigos. Happy Cinco de Mayo. I read that the Bazaar del Mundo is going to have a virtual, an online Cinco de Mayo festival. So probably see some ballet folklorico online. I should check that out because I'm going to be grading all day. Bye, Professor. Take care. Bye, Nancy. Let's go to the chat room and see what he's seeing in the chat room here. There's the chat. Bye. Okay, so this meeting will now stop recording.